It is so very good to see everybody who is here tonight. As I'm looking across the audience, I see a lot of new faces. Well, that tells me that several of you have driven some distance just to be here tonight, and again, I want to thank you. It is my hope and desire that the sermon I prepared for you this evening will be worthy of the effort you put forth to be here. I guarantee you, this sermon is going to hit you. This sermon tonight is one that I try to preach as often as I can to try to teach Christians how to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. To begin with, we need to realize we're caught up in the middle of a spiritual war. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17, it says, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Satan is making war against the church. He is making war against you. We were born into a world where spiritual warfare is raging. The battleground is in our minds and our hearts. And the spoils of the war is our soul's eternal destiny. And so we must learn to fight against Satan. Ephesians says in chapter 6 and verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against spiritual wickedness. We're fighting against Satan. How does that make you feel? Afraid? Afraid. I'm fighting against a spiritual being. How on earth do you fight a spiritual being? 2 Timothy chapter 2, 3 through 4 says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." And so here again we learn that we are expected to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, engaged in warfare. Again, my whole point of my sermon tonight is to try to teach you how to resist the devil that he may flee from you. We know what the verse says, but how do you do it? How do you resist a spiritual being who is attacking you with the intent of destroying you spiritually with the hope of you being with him in hell for all eternity? Okay, we were born into this world with a spiritual war taking place. Now that we are in Christ and we are members of the body of Christ, Satan is making war against us. The text says, you resist him, he will flee from you. How do you resist Satan? How do you fight the good fight as a soldier of Jesus Christ? The first thing that I want you to learn this evening is to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you've got to know yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" Twice he says here, examine yourselves, test yourselves. It is imperative that all of us recognize that every one of us here this evening, we all have spiritual weaknesses. We all have areas in our life where there are battles that we have been tempted in, battles we have fought spiritually that we have lost. At the very beginning of the sermon this evening, I got something I want all of us to do. Imagine in your mind that you have a piece of paper in front of you with your name written at the top. I want you to ask yourself this question. What is my greatest spiritual weakness? What is it I go to God the most about praying for forgiveness? Write it down. And then the next question is, now after I faced my greatest spiritual weakness, what is my second greatest spiritual weakness? Write it down. What's my third? What's my fourth? What's my fifth? What you're doing is you're examining yourself. You're testing yourself to see where you really are as a soldier of Christ. What battles it is that you've been losing in the past. Going over to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, it says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. He's writing to Timothy, you're an evangelist. I'm an evangelist, okay? And so he tells us, evangelist, take heed to yourself. The very first thing I need to be doing is watching myself, taking heed to myself, making sure that I'm practicing what I preach. I'm trying to teach you how to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Okay, I need to make sure I'm doing that. Because if we do this, number one, I'll save myself. And if you do it, it'll save you. So what I'm trying to do tonight is to teach you how to do it. How to be this good soldier of Christ. The very first thing is you got to face up to reality of you. If you lie to yourself and you say, I got this, I ain't got any problems, you're never going to grow spiritually. You're never going to start actually fighting the good fight of faith until you recognize where you're losing the battles. Let me tell you something about the enemy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So the very first thing to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ is you got to know yourself. The second thing to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ is you got to know your enemy. Well, the scripture says here that we're not ignorant of his devices. I got a little bit of good news. Satan hasn't come up with anything new. What he has been using since the Garden of Eden to attack and tempt and deceive mankind is the same thing he's using today. And so let's see what it is. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but is of the world. Well, to be honest with you, whenever I'm doing my list in my mind, there it is. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Top three right there. That's the reality, folks. That's the avenues through which he's attacking me. That's the avenues through which he's attacking all of you. And those are where we're losing our battles. If I was going to round out my top five, number four would be anger. Number five would be fear. How about you? Okay, I'm just laying mine right there in front of you. You've got to realize where your weaknesses are because your enemy knows where you're weak. Your enemy knows the battles you've lost. In Ephesians chapter 4, 26 to 27, it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your path, on your wrath, nor give place to who? The devil. Satan knows that if he can get you to lose your temper, to become angry, that in that frame of mind, if you remember from our sermon last night, and whenever you lose your temper and you're angry, you can say and do things that are cruel and outrageous that you would never normally say nor do. And Satan will use that emotion to get you to sin. In Matthew 4, 2 through 3, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Do you think Satan knew that Jesus was hungry? Well, of course he did. He was aware of the situation. He knew he'd been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. He knew it was, and by the way, when he says he was hungry. And Satan knew it. And he hit him there first. This is such an important lesson. He's doing the same thing with all of us. He knows your weaknesses. He knows the battles you keep losing. And he's going to keep coming back there. And he's going to keep on coming back there. He hasn't come up with anything new. So you pretty much know what the enemy's going to do before he does it. He's going to keep coming back where the weakest. Over and over and over again. Until you finally start putting up some defenses there. And by the way, even when you start fighting and you've got your defenses up, does that mean he's not going to come back there anymore? You should know better than that. He remembers always where you've lost. And even though you maybe have stood your ground for a long time and you think you finally got over it, he's coming back there sooner or later. He's coming back. Ephesians says in chapter 6, now in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Number one, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you got to know yourself. Number two, you got to know your enemy. Number three, you need to know your allies. Our number one ally in this spiritual war is God Almighty himself. And the text here talks about being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. If we're going to stand in the evil day, it's not going to be because of my strength, my power. It's going to be because I have God with me. And God is strong and God has power. And with the strength of God and the power of God, we can stand an evil day. We can resist. It's possible. But you got to know your ally. I just, a few weeks ago, matter of fact, it was last, not this Sunday, but the Sunday before, I did a sermon entitled, Help! And the whole part of the morning sermon was going to God for help. When you realize you're in the middle of a battle, and you realize I'm being tempted, I just want to encourage you to cry out to God for help. He gets the message. He knows where you are. Cry to God, your primary ally, to help you in the middle of your battles. Ecclesiastes is an amazing book, isn't it? Ecclesiastes. This is one of my favorite verses from it. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9 through 12 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Two are better than one. If two are better than one, then three are better than two. And four is better than three. The lesson is this. There's strength in numbers. Now, there's something I want all of you brethren here to let sink in right now. None of you are ever or have ever been expected by God to be solitary soldiers fighting your battles by yourself. And yet, if I were going to pick one of the greatest problems I have seen across the entire brotherhood for decades, is the vast majority of us are solitary soldiers. In other words, we don't let anybody in to where we really are. We don't let anybody in with the battles we're fighting. And we sure don't want them to know the battles we've lost. Think, if you would, for a moment about a physical war. Now then, in your mind, draw up the idea of the battlefield here. You got this army on one side, an army on the other side, and then for some reason, you got this soldier who's just kind of gone out there on his own. All right. This soldier that's out there on his own, not with the army. What's the other side going to do? All right, I'll tell you what, I'm the general on the other side. And I said, you see that guy over there? Yeah. I don't know what he's doing. Go kill him. Why? Because he was stupid enough to go out there all by himself. And he's all alone over there with nobody to help him. You understand that, obviously, in a physical war. Well, how about a spiritual war that's really taking place and raging in our lives and our world? And yet what we do is we go out here all by ourselves. And I'm just not going to let anybody in. I got this. I want people to know what's going on. I want them to think about me. I told y'all Sunday morning that unfortunately there was a time in my life when I was a prodigal son. One of the biggest changes in my life was when I let somebody in. And it happened at Florida College. And it was the very first week at Florida College. I told you I used to be a professional hider. And I kept losing my battles. And I remember sitting in the dorm room with Larry McClinney, James McClinney, and Jeff Young. And these men started doing something I never seen guys do. They let down the barriers. And they started talking about the things they had been facing in life and the battles they had been losing in life. And I did something I never done before. I let them in. And I started talking to these guys about, guess what? The same battles I'd been losing. And I come to realize we're all in the same war. And we're all losing the same battles. And we started doing something with one another. We started encouraging one another, praying for one another, checking up on one another. And after that moment in my life, I was never alone. I had soldiers of Christ beside me in the trenches, helping me fight my battles, calling me on the weekends, asking me how I've done. Hebrews says in chapter 3, verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So how often do we need encouragement? Daily. How often do we need checking up on each other? Daily. While it's called today. James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, I just got a question for all of you. Have you ever done what this verse says do? Have you ever confessed your faults and your trespasses and your weaknesses to one another? Have you ever let anybody in? If you answer that question, no, you, my friend, are a solitary soldier. You've been trying to fight the spiritual battle all by yourself for so long. And if you wonder why you keep losing the battle, that's probably a big part of it right there. It's because you ain't got anybody encouraging you. You ain't got anybody praying for you. You ain't got anybody checking up on you. You see, it's this one another thing going on here. We encourage each other. We talk to one another about our struggles. And we pray for one another. When you've got an army, it is a whole lot easier to stand in an evil day when you're surrounded by soldiers of Christ fighting together beside you in the trenches, helping you. Two are better than one. One can be easily overcome. But two can, what's the verse say? Withstand. Two can hold the ground. And then the fourth point is you've got to know your weapons. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Wow, what a text. Notice it talks here about how our weapons, they're not carnal. We're fighting against a spiritual enemy. And the weapons God has given us are spiritual weapons. Please listen to what I'm about to tell you about these weapons. They work. God has not left us defenseless. He has given us weapons that are mighty in God. And these weapons are so strong, they are able to pull down, look at this, strongholds. Okay, what is a stronghold? You remember that piece of paper I talked about in the very beginning of the sermon, where I asked you to know yourself and to write down on that piece of paper, what is number one? What is your greatest spiritual weakness that you go to God about the most, begging and praying for forgiveness? That's Satan's stronghold. Do you understand what a stronghold is? Okay, whenever they were attacking a city, you have the walls, and then you got the towers, and then you got the stronghold. So if the enemy breaches the wall, then you go to the towers. And if they start to get into the towers, then you go to the stronghold. And a stronghold, you got food in there and water for months. Remember Masada? I mean, I'm not going to go off into military history. They've got food and water. They can stay in there for months. And so you may be controlling the entire city, and you think you got the city all under control, but these folks are still inside that stronghold. And they'll wait sometime until the middle of the night, and they come out and kill a bunch of people and run back inside. I'm telling you that because, as I've told you, Satan knows what you got at the top of your list. He knows the battles we've lost. And you may think, I've done really good for a long time even. I may have had this, I got this lit. He's just waiting to where you think you got it lit, and he's going to come right back in your face again with it. He's going to keep coming back there till you're dead. This battle is to death, folks. But God has given us weapons that are spiritual weapons that are mighty, and they're able, when we use them, to pull down the stronghold. It can be done with the weapons God has given us. Ephesians 6 is the text that tells us about these weapons, verses 10 through 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. How do you do that? Put on the whole armor of God. There's the answer. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This text explains very succinctly how it is we stand against spiritual wickedness, how it is we stand against the devil. By putting on the whole armor of God. He says in verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, look at this, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Got a question for you. When's the evil day? When's the evil day? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and, yeah, Sunday too. The evil day is whenever you are being attacked. And I got a question for you. What day of the week is Satan going to let up? You know the answer. He's never going to let up. And so we have to put on the whole armor of God, and we got to keep it on. We got to be ready for battle when the battle has engaged. And we got to learn our weapons and know how to use them. Going back to Ephesians 6, verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What's the common denominator in all of these parts of our spiritual weaponry? The common denominator is the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is the truth. And when you practice the truth, that's righteousness. And the gospel of peace is contained within the truth of the Word of God. And the Word of God produces faith. And the end of that is going to be the salvation of your soul. The common denominator is the Word of God. It is the Word of God that produces faith. So to know our weapons, we've got to learn the scriptures that fit our spiritual battles. Verse 17, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. When you go to Matthew 4 and verse 4, you remember earlier when Jesus was being tempted by Satan? What did he do? What did he say? But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now listen, folks. This is our captain. This is our king. This is our Savior, Jesus the Christ. This is how he defended himself when the enemy, Satan, was attacking and tempting him. What did he do in every instance here in Matthew 4? You know the answer, don't you? It is written. And he quoted the scripture. He used the sword of the Spirit to defend himself against Satan. Brethren, what I'm trying to teach you and encourage you to do is learn your weapon, know your weapon. Go back to your top five. You remember those? Number one, your spiritual stronghold. Once you recognize what it is, this is what I want all of you to do. Find the five best verses you know of in the entire Bible that fit that spiritual struggle and memorize them. Yes. Remember earlier I told you number four for me is anger? So it is written. You know, when you get angry, folks, I'm going to tell you right up front, counting to 10 doesn't do anything. 10, kill him. It doesn't do anything. Pull the sword from the sheath, though, folks. It is written, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Do not give place to the devil. And focus the mind on the scripture. And then after you've meditated on that a while, go to number two. It is written, therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Quote the scripture, folks. The last thing Satan wants you to do is go to the word of God. Because you've got to understand, it is by putting on the whole armor of God that gives us the strength and the power of God to resist and stand in an evil day. But what we do, folks, is we stand over here as solitary soldiers by ourselves. And when we're in the middle of the battle and we're in the middle of the temptation, we don't do anything with the scriptures. We don't quote them at all. We don't use our weapon at all. Now, again, just come back to a physical battle. You remember that soldier that was out there all by himself? What if he didn't use any of his weapons? And he's out there all by himself. He's going to be snuffed out quickly, isn't he? You're foolish to be out there by yourself alone, and you're an idiot because you won't even use your weapons. And yet, that's what the majority of Christians do. We're solitary soldiers. We don't know our weapons, and we don't use our weapons. Well, no wonder we keep losing battles. We're alone. We don't know our weapon that God has given us, and we're not ever using it. So memorize five verses that fit your spiritual battle, please. Try this. It works, folks. God has given us weapons that work, and Satan wants you to never use them. Because he knows this is how you're going to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, is by putting on his armor, and this is his armor. This is how you tear down strongholds. And without this, you're going to lose. You get that? Without God's weapons, we got nothing. Without God's strength and God's might, we got nothing. And we're just going to keep losing. And if we don't look out, we're going to lose the war, and we're going to lose our soul because we never learn to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2, 14 says, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. Look at this. and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Oh, that's exactly what Ephesians is talking about. What was it that was abiding in them? God's word was in them. It was abiding there. And when the battle was engaged, they pulled out the word of God that was in them, and they used it against the wicked one. They used it against Satan, and they overcame the wicked one. They won the battle. That's how we fight, brethren. By using the weapons God has given us. It's got to be abiding in our brain. And it's got to be brought out when the battle is engaged. Ephesians 6, verse 16 says, above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith. The fiery darts of the wicked one is Satan is coming at you, and he's coming at you, and he's coming at you with temptation, temptation, temptation. Faith that comes from the word of God. When you're in the battle, and Satan is trying to pull you into the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, in your mind as best as you can, take your mind to Calvary. Take your mind to Christ crucified. Take your mind to the Son of God who gave his life so that we could be forgiven of the sins of the battles that we've lost. Satan wants to keep you as far away from God as Jesus and God as he can in the middle of the battle. Because he understands the only way we can resist him is with God in Christ. Take your mind to his word. Take your mind to Christ crucified. I assure you, if you have your mind focused on the cross, you will stand. Because you are doing it by faith. You're putting out all the fiery darts of the wicked one. 1 John says in chapter 5, 4 through 5, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. You remember the world earlier? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. This is how you overcome it. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Going off on a brief tangent here. If Jesus is not the Son of God, what does his crucifixion and his death mean? Nothing. But if Jesus is the Son of God, what does his death and crucifixion mean? Everything. Everything. And so whenever you find yourself in the middle of the battle, nothing wrong with just saying, help! Need some help here. And then you go to the Word of God and you focus your mind on the scripture that deals with the temptation you're dealing with. And then you focus your mind on Christ crucified. And through faith and the Word of God, you can resist. You can win the battle and stand in the evil day and overcome the wicked one. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of, what is it? Faith. Lay hold on eternal life. 1 Peter 5:8 through 9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everybody here, folks, we're all being attacked the same way, all of us. Okay. How are we going to do this? How are we going to deal with this? First of all, you got to be alert. You got to realize this is real, folks. Satan is real, and he's really after you, and he's after me. And he understands it's going to be through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and our emotions that he's going to get us. And so we got to be ready for the battle when it happens. And we've got to learn to look at this. Resist him. You remember the opening verse? Resist the devil and he will do what? Flee from you. Hear it again. Resist him. How do you do that? Steadfast in the faith. It keeps coming back to that, doesn't it? The word of God and faith. Matthew 26:41, Garden of Gethsemane. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. In the context here, Jesus has already told the disciples that this night all of you are going to forsake me. You remember what Peter said? No, Lord, I'm not going to forsake you. I'll die with you. I got a question for all of you. Did they mean what they said to Jesus? How much, to what level do you think they meant what they said? I believe with every fiber of their being, with all their heart and all their mind, all their soul, that's what they believed, that's what they desired and wanted to be. But what happened? A few moments later, every one of them did what Jesus told them they were going to do, what they said they would never do. You see, folks, that's the reality of us. These are the apostles, folks. The apostles, okay? We need to watch. That's being alert. And realize, He's after me. He's after me every day. And sometimes the line will be in your face before you know it. And if that happens, cry out for help. Start quoting the scriptures and run to the cross as quick as you can. And pray. And pray that when that moment comes, hopefully you may stand your ground. Have you ever let yourself down? If all of us are honest, every one of us would answer that, yes. Have you ever thought, what's wrong with me? Yeah. There's the answer. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's all of us, folks. If that's the apostles, you need to understand, it sure is us too. We may have good intentions. We may want to be good soldiers. We may think, I'm going to stand in the grave. I'm going to resist. I'm not going to do it anymore. Okay. I hope you do stand. I hope you do put out all the fiery darts of the wicked one. But I assure you, it's going to be a whole lot more difficult for you if you're alone. If you don't cry out to God for help. If you don't use the spiritual weapons God has given you, if you don't use the Word of God, if you don't focus the mind on Christ and Christ crucified, if you don't do any of those things, if you're not watching and you're not praying, you're going to keep losing. Ephesians 6:18. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now notice what I put in yellow print for you here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. And the next point, being watchful. Do you see that? Watch and pray. Pray and watch. Yeah. This is in the same context that you have the spiritual weapons of Ephesians 6. After he talks about the sword of the Spirit and faith and all the other ones, at the conclusion of it, he says, you need to watch. You need to be alert. Just take me in your mind. Take me in your mind. Let me come into your mind, your imagination for a moment. You're out here in the woods of Arkansas. Yeah, we're in Arkansas. I know that. And you look on the horizon over there, and you see a lion. Now, what are all you going to do when you see the lion? I can tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to run as fast as I can the other way. Do you understand what the scriptures mean when it says flee youthful lust? Flee fornication. Don't think you can go up into the lion's mouth and it's going to be okay. Don't think you can go into their territory where you know you're going to be attacked and it's going to be okay. If you know temptation is going to be in a location, don't go there. Got it? Don't go where you know temptation is going to be. Don't invite the battle into your face. Romans says in chapter 8 now, verse 37, and we'll close with this. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors to him who loved us. The bulk of the sermon here this evening has been trying to teaching us how to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. First of all, knowing myself, acknowledging my weaknesses, recognizing my spiritual stronghold that Satan has in my mind and heart, and then working to tear it down with the weapons God has given me. Knowing my enemy. Recognizing where he's attacking me. knowing my allies, finding brethren that I can let in. If you haven't got anybody you can let in, I volunteer. I'll give you my phone number. You need to know this, though. If you let me in, I'm going to let you in. You see that one another stuff there? You start talking to me about your battles, I'm going to talk about mine too. You start praying for me, I'm going to start praying for you too. You start encouraging me, I'm going to encourage you. You see how that works? And if two are better than one, three is better than two, and four is better than three, and an army is better. Let one another in. Know your allies. Know your weapons. So you can defend yourself in the evil day. But look at this verse. This verse is talking about us being more than conquerors. The majority of the sermon this evening has been about defense. Now I want to talk about offense. We're in a spiritual war here, folks. The battleground is the hearts and the minds of all mankind. And the spoils of the war is each individual's eternal destiny. We are to take the same weapons, the Word of God, that we use to defend ourselves and use those weapons to conquer territory for our King. You take the gospel to the lost and dying world. You tell them the truth about God's great love for them. You tell them the truth about Christ's great love and sacrifice for them. You tell them the truth about the gospel of God and how to be saved. And conquer territory for our King. Learn to defend ourselves and learn to be more than conquerors. Learn to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I thank you for your kind attention. If there is anybody here this evening who is not in Christ, and you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, what are you waiting for? Why haven't you obeyed the gospel? Come forward. Confess your faith, and then motivated by your faith, make the commitment of repentance. And we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're in Christ already now, and you realize, I'm losing battles and I'm struggling, okay. I'm trying to encourage you to learn to cry out for help to God and help to your brethren. I told y'all Sunday morning, when anytime someone comes home, anytime the prodigal son comes forward or the prodigal daughter comes forward and they're repenting, the battle's not over. The battle is finally being engaged and they're crying out for help. Anytime someone cries out for help because they're struggling with sin, it's time to get busy. It's time to get into the trenches beside one another. Find out what they're struggling with. Call them, check up on them, and exhort them daily. While it's called today, learn to be an army of soldiers working together, helping one another fight your battles, and ultimately be with our King and our God in heaven. If you need help spiritually, we'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song that Daniel has selected.